When you walk down the street, when you're at a restaurant, and pretty much anywhere you hear that faint sound of music, whether it's from your headphones, a band playing down the street, you can hear it clearly, more clear than any conversation that's happening around you. It's astonishing. Today, I want us to dive into the many ways music affects our brain. What's going on, you guys? My name is Stefan, and you are listening to the Audio Addiction Podcast. Before we jump into the neurological aspects of how music connects with the brain, I would like us to start off from the beginning. Looking back into history, many would claim that language came first, and then music. The modern human brain first came into existence at around 50 to 100,000 years ago. Around this time, the bone in the throat becomes more developed, capable for more complex speech. With language coming in at, let's say, a conservative estimate of 60,000 years ago. With the discovery of some musical artifacts like the flute being dated as old as 40,000 years ago. We can say that, relatively speaking, music, or at least a primitive form of it, developed quickly once humans were able to form some sort of proto-language. So why did music become a byproduct of language? Was it to communicate? Well, words and language in general is our main way of communicating. We wouldn't sing a tune to say hello or confer complex statements. And yet, it serves no practical purpose. It didn't help us farm. It didn't help us to survive. Or did it? One of humanity's greatest skills is that we are social creatures, and we rely on mimicking and teaching skills to other fellow humans. This is how skills that helped humanity to advance, like using tools, fire, and simple agriculture, spread so quickly across the world. Language was simply one of these, and was extremely useful. It can evoke emotion, ideas, plans. It allows humans to live together in a more cohesive way. Many would argue that music is another form of communication. This would make sense, as another argument is that music is a byproduct of communication. And music has many benefits as a form of communication than basic language. It is simple, but yet complex, and is the next thing that we will be discussing. We see the use in music in many ways in the ancient world. Many that we have record of. Roman legions used drums and trumpets to project commands to thousands of men. Music was used by the American slaves as guides on finding their way north. And what do all these have in common? Music has this one common element that makes it an incredible and powerful tool. Repetition. The same sound, the same progression for Roman legions, the same melodies and lyrics that are sung by the African American slaves. Any song, pop song, and a great majority of them have repetitive melodies that occur throughout the piece. They are catchy, and because they are ingrained to you over and over again, makes it easier to remember. Let's do a test. Listen to the following piece of music. This piece is written by Felix Mendelssohn, and if you haven't guessed, this is the wedding song. The first 30 seconds is what we come to remember time and time again every July. And how about this? And if you are in the military, this is something that is very important. It means you should get your butt out of bed. It's time to start the day. And so tying back into how the music affects the brain, we must also know how repetition affects the brain as well. Studies show that looking at the brain through an EEG, when the person is listening to a piece of music they're familiar with, they are at peace. They are consistent. It gets more interesting when, even when a person is not listening to a piece of music they're familiar with, the brain likes to anticipate. And many people claim that they are not trained in pitch, they are not musicians, but we all have this same skill of anticipating the next note. There is a talk by a great Bobby McFerrin talking about this. He plays a piece of music and then omits the last note. Many people in the crowd sang the correct note that would then finish the song. And when this song becomes unpredictable, the brain goes haywire. Waves start jumping all over the place, confirming that the brain likes repetition. It likes to know what is going to happen next. And we see this in everyday life as well. We all scream the chorus when it comes around next, and we feel the happiest when it does come. It's this innate desire to come back home, to the familiar, furthering the desire to remember. The brain also does numerous of other things when music is being played. During listening, oxytocin levels are raised in the bloodstream, and even more so when a group of people are singing together. This chemical makes us feel more connected, increases empathy and togetherness. In addition, during parts of music when the brain is anticipating something, the chemical dopamine is released, the same chemical that is released when we eat, have sex, or do drugs. Dopamine doesn't just affect addiction, but our movement, and most importantly, our hearing. We tend to hear a lot better when we're listening to music. Tying back to the first sentences made of this episode, it is why we are able to hear music clearly in a crowded restaurant. There's even a part of the brain that is responsible for empathetic acts that get triggered when listening and playing music. It's the same part of the brain that gets triggered when you literally save someone else, even if you yourself are at risk. So we see in these different scenarios, humans have created a byproduct of speech that is easy to remember because we are designed it to be so. Choruses are usually the part of the song that are the most remembered and carries the main body of the song. It is also the only part of the song that is repeated. Melodies are also repeated and make it more memorable as well. We as humans are also driven to listen and play music. Our brains want it through the frontal cortex and also with the release of chemicals like dopamine, cortisol, and oxytocin. It is no wonder why we use music as kernels of information, because it is in our nature to listen and in our nature to play and share music with others. And all of this because music plays such a powerful role on our minds and had become such a useful tool for humans 50,000 years ago. It is the social glue that keeps us together as a community, and I would argue, one of the very things that makes us human. That's all for today, you guys. Thank you so much for listening this episode of Audio Addiction. This topic was very, very interesting and was inspired by a TED Talk, and I'll put it in the show notes, you know, when you're done listening to this. It's really, really interesting how we are the only animals on the earth and known to us that use music as complex as we do. I mean, you have birds that sing songs. You have mammals like dolphins that use some form of sonic echolocation to communicate, but it's basic language at the very least. We use music far beyond what basic language really constitutes. It blew my mind that we have a certain part of the body, and obviously it's a bone in the throat, that is capable for us to use complex speech. So we evolved in a sense that we were able to have more than just a basic form of language. And probably because of that, we are able to develop music. And I always knew music played a powerful tool. I mean, you could see it in modern day civilization. Music is used in all sorts of use cases, could be used for business purposes. But more importantly, and more interestingly, it could be used for political purposes, furthering the argument that music does carry a meaning and does have some form of influence on people. But what I didn't know is that influence, what makes up that influence? Is it the notes? Is it just something that we just accept? And looking into this episode, it really results into song constitution and repetition. When something is repeated over and over and over again, and you can refer back to that, what was that movie? Clockwork Orange. Something that even though you don't believe is real, but if something is repeated to you time and time again, you start to believe that it's real. That same kind of principle then applies to music and the meanings in that music. When the wedding song is played every single wedding ceremony time and time again, our minds start to believe that or understand that this music is associated with this. And that has so many different practical applications of it. And when you're looking at humans 50,000 years ago using these flutes, could be times of plans of action when hunting. Or what I'd like to think is kind of like what we see in ancient worlds of folk songs, teaches lessons. You know, you can even reference to gospels or hymns, Christian Catholic hymns, talking about God and the stories of God and truths and lessons, more importantly, lessons. People sing these over and over again and constitute that with this kind of meaning. And when it's done over generations, over years, it holds a more solidified meaning to it, and therefore carries these kernels of information that's easy to remember. Again, thank you so much for listening, you guys. If you find this episode interesting, and you might know someone that would also find it interesting as well, please go on our Apple Podcasts page, give us a review, and share it. We're also on numerous of other podcast applications like Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Podbean, Radio Public, and Stitcher. I'll see you later, you guys.